We're active. Well, good morning, everybody. Could you just drop the volume a tiny bit, Julie? I think it is that echoing quite loudly. Are you okay with that? Well, whichever. Tie mic. We'll get there. Aren't we causing a nuisance and a mess now? We've come back off holiday, eh? I don't know. It's a tie mic one. Does that sound okay to everybody? Everybody all right? Excellent, right. It's good to be back with you. Nice to be here. We've had a good time. It was a little bit damp, but there you go. That's Wales for you. When my friend moved out to Wales, where we are, he says, it's always good weather. He says, what happens is you get the Gulf Stream, and it makes sure you get plenty of sun and warm weather. I think he was lying through his teeth. A couple of weeks ago, John spoke. And as part of the message that he brought, which I think between them, Julie and Dave came up with the idea of light-emitting disciples, he covered a short passage in Philippians. And that week, in my personal readings, I've been working through the book of Philippians, and I came across exactly the same passage. And it sort of really spoke to me again. And I'm working through a study book, and lo and behold, the passage that it was working through was Philippians chapter 2. So there we go. Exactly. So I'm picking up on the idea. If you'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 2, just going to read a couple of verses. This is Paul writing to the Philippians, okay? Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. This is what it says. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. First of all, there in verse 12, it talks about as you have always obeyed. That is a Greek word which means sort of paskuo. It's to hear under or to hear as a result of being below, the idea of listening attentively to someone who is above you. Okay, so you get the idea of obedience. Somebody speaking not physically down, but in a line of authority down to you. It means to take heed, to conform to what has been spoken, to be obedient. We have to be obedient to God, yeah? And we have to be obedient to God's rules, God's laws, God's instructions, God's direction, and God's commands. I've just got a PowerPoint if you'd like to look up. If you could put the first one on the screen, please, Julie. Okay, there you can see some gobbledygook. Now, because I've actually written it, I know exactly what it says. Some of you might be good at anagrams. Some of you might be able to pick out, obviously, some words that are more obvious than others. Can anybody tell me what that sentence says? It is, yes. But why put a capital letter in the middle of a word? Why put a comma in the middle of the word? That doesn't follow the linguistic rules, does it? Okay, could you put the next slide on for us? Anybody read that one? The expensive big red house. Does that make sense? Yeah? Does that follow the grammatical rules? Looking back to Julie there, just to make sure I've got everything in right places. Okay. The expensive, comma, big, comma, red house, full stop. Can you go back to the first one, please? That'll be testing, perhaps. Okay. Now can you see what it says? Obviously, the first bit is red. Then it's big. Now, E has got a full stop after it. Take out the full stop and you got the, but it's backwards, isn't it? House has got a capital O in it. Take that out. Take the comma out. You got house. Take the capital P out of expensive and you got expensive. So it's got exactly the same letters. It's got exactly the same punctuation. Marks there, yeah? But it doesn't make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? It's not following the linguistic pattern, the rules that we have. If I wish to communicate with you in a written format, we have a language that we write down, and it has certain rules. Yeah? Yes, I like that. Text messages don't follow. Text messages have their own rules, different rules, yeah? Yes. I don't know whether I've told you, but a friend of ours, a husband, was very sick with cancer, and she was letting her children know. You're thinking, why is Stephen laughing now? It's because he knows the punchline, okay? He was sick with cancer, and he was actually dying with cancer. So she sent a text message out to her children, and the text message went like this. Hi, kids. Not good news for your dad. LOL. Now, in text speak, LOL means laugh out loud. So what that said to the kids was, you know, not good news, kids. You know, your dad's actually dying. Lol. Laugh out loud. But what she meant was lots of love. All right? So the kids were, what? Different rules. Different rules. To use a language, we have to use the language rules. Different languages have different rules. You know, we put that expression, the big red house, in a particular way. In other languages, they might rearrange the order. But that's according to their rules. If you don't follow the rules, you don't communicate. If you follow the rules, you can have a literary masterpiece. You can have a poem that touches the heart and soul, that captures, that crystallizes something. People can follow the rules and it can make you cry. People can follow the rules, the linguistic pattern, the rules, and you're energized, determined, and you're going to go with them because you've had this rousing speech that's followed the linguistic rules, the pattern. Could you pop the next one for us, please? We so often think that obedience equals restriction. In actual fact, we look at it and we think it's a holding back. There's no fun. But the fact of the matter is that obedience equals freedom. Because those are the rules, the patterns of the universe. God gives us direction because he knows how things work. He lays out the rules which sometimes seem contrary to what we think ought to be, but in actual fact, they are the ways that we must follow if life is going to work. We see obedience when people are trained. When I started work, I was shown how to work machine tools. I was shown how to use hand tools. I did what I was told, and I followed the pattern that was set. Because believe it or not, people, whilst some people might be better than others, very often you'll find people are not natural with tools. They use them the wrong way. How many people who are DIYers have used a screwdriver as a chisel? Go on, admit it. Have you? Yeah? Yeah? What is a screwdriver? It's a screwdriver. Use it as a screwdriver. A chisel is a chisel. So let me pick it up. That's not following the rules. And we were taught very early on, you get a nice screwdriver, plastic handle, you hit it really hard, and what happens to the handle? It shatters. Shouldn't do it like that. That's not following the rules. Freedom comes when we follow the rules and we work according to the way things ought to be. You have to be taught. You have to be trained. And so many times, as I've sort of developed and been involved with training, you see there's a pattern of wrong ways of doing things. People so often sort of do things in a particular wrong way. And say, no, don't do it like that. You're just like the others. You're doing it in exactly the wrong way. And you have to train them in the right way to do things. So often, in the safe way to do things. One of the things that they first taught us was with a file is how to put the handle on and how to do it properly. And the guy said to us, he says, if I ever see you using a file without a handle on, he says, I'll give you a thump. Because I've seen people who use the file without a handle, it's got stuck and the tang has gone straight into their arm. That is not the right way to do it. The right way to do it brings the freedom. In Romans 6:17, this is what Paul says. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you've come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. The pattern of teaching, the way of life, the rules. In Ephesians 6, verses 5 to 6, this is what it says. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favour when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, an obedience that is wholehearted, diligent, a wholeheartedness that comes from a desire to please. Follow the pattern, follow the rules. It touches deep within us, our emotional selves, but in Romans 12, 1-2, it talks about the rational side of things. It talks about worship being rational, logical, reasonable response. The rules of God appeal on all levels. And obedience is a life work. As we're working out the pattern of teaching, as we're following and learning to obey the rules and live accordingly. Julie will tell you that very often I can get very upset with police drivers. Police drivers are some of the best drivers in the world. The level that they're taken to is very, very high. They're taught and are admired throughout the world for the driving. And yet when I have been taught as well along those similar sort of lines, yet when I see people like that who know very well and don't drive as they should, it irritates me. You know, the other day we were coming home and we were followed by a police car. It wasn't actually following us, it just happened to be going where we were going. And after about a couple of miles, I said to Julie, this guy behind me is getting me really annoyed because he's being such a sloppy driver. She says, What do you mean? Why is he being sloppy? And then I went through, well, he should have indicated at this point, at that point, it was a stop sign. He didn't treat it like a stop sign, treated it like a giveaway sign, his distance from, and sort of going back. He knows better. The obedience he's given is not a life obedience. He was obeying the rules that he's been taught when either he thought it mattered or when somebody was watching. And Paul says, don't be like that. This is a life skill. Learn the rules and follow them. Because the fact of the matter is that it will be better for you if you do. Not just when the eye is upon us. Or when we think the eye is upon us. Paul goes on to say to work out our salvation. Kategezodmai. It means to work fully, to accomplish, to finish, to fashion. Now the fact of the matter is, we don't start our salvation. It's presented to us, and then we're told to work it out, as John explained to us. And I must admit, as he was talking to us, the image that was immediately brought to my mind was something that happened in my woodwork class at school. There we were in the class, and today we were going to start making a tray. Now, the teacher had been with us, he showed us the basic ideas of how to use the tools and everything else. And the class started by people being given the raw materials. We're given the pieces of wood that were required to make this wooden tray. It had a base, it had a surround, the ends had to be carved out, and then have handles so you could carry it, and had brace at the bottom. And we were given the bits that we needed. And that is like our salvation. God doesn't say, go out and get your bit of wood, you know, cut the tree down and fashion it. He says, here you are. Here's your start. You're off. We were given the pattern, the plan, the drawing. We were told how to do it. The teacher was there to give us advice and assistance and to recover the mistakes we made. Because he, being much cleverer than us, could either A, supply another piece of wood when we mucked it up completely, or rescue us as we'd gone wrong. And I also remember being really proud as I walked home with my completed tray and presented it to my mum. And whether she was thrilled or not, she gave a very good impression of being thrilled with my attempt. And I was incredibly proud and pleased that I'd been able to bring this finished item to my mum. The fact of the matter is there are at least 34, 35 others exactly like it. And also that every sort of year 10 who did woodwork at that school would do exactly the same thing. I like to look on it as a limited edition item. But there you go. But the fact of the matter is, I was given the base part to start off with. And we are given salvation. We work with God to fashion it, to present to him at the end our lives. And just as I wanted my mum to be pleased when I gave her the tray, so we want God to be pleased with the lives that we deliver to him at the time and say, God, look what I've done with you walking beside me, working with me, with the start that you gave me. Here I am. It's our responsibility to fashion, to make something of it, to give glory to God through the lives that we have, through following his rules. The issues that we have are very similar to what one guitarist told me one time. It progressed quite far. It had gone through all your sort of standard grades through 8, even done things after that. But then he got to a point where he couldn't actually master some of the classical pieces. And the reason he was told that he couldn't master them was because his technique was wrong. His technique had got him so far, and in some places he's actually been able to sort of fudge. But he got to a point where he couldn't sort of bluff it anymore, he couldn't fudge it anymore. And for a year, he said he basically went back to the start to learn how to do it properly. And the issue that we have is that at different points in our lives, we've come to salvation. And up to that point, we've been working to a different set of rules. We've been working to a different pattern. And suddenly we're presented with a completely different pattern of teaching. Some things, yeah, they're pretty close. And yeah, you know, they seem to match up quite well. And yet other things are totally opposite. And it's at points like this when we have to unlearn what we've learned and adopt the new pattern. And just as this guitarist said to me, he says, at first it felt incredibly awkward to do it that way. Because for so many years I've been doing it the other way. And I felt at home like that. And if he wasn't watching himself, he used to sort of flick back to the old way of doing things. And you know, they tell us in training in different things that if you've learnt the wrong way, it can take a real effort and determination on your part to do it the right way. Because you'll slide back to the old way of thinking. But Paul says, put off the old self, put on the new self. And there's this sort of working along and getting the right pattern, the right rules, the right way of doing things. That can take a sifting. It means being prepared to change and actually sort of catch ourselves and say, no, that's wrong. Let's do it this way. And perhaps one of the ways I can get this across to you is I am an incredibly literal kind of person. I'm probably on some sort of Asperger scale or whatever. But so often when people say things to me, I will take them dead literally. It can be very funny at times, all right? But I am so literal. Even to the point of a couple of days ago, somebody said, oh, I hate that. And I caught myself thinking, actually, it doesn't mean he literally hates that, detests that, and can't wait to sort of get rid of it. What he means is he doesn't like it. And I caught myself thinking it because my literal way of thinking is somebody says, I hate that. What they mean is, detest it. Do you understand what I mean? But same with us. We have to relearn, perhaps catch ourselves and think, oh, no, I don't react like that. The right way, the godly way, the Jesus way is to do this instead. In Philippians, it talks about with fear, with trembling. That word there, fear, phobos, it's the idea of reverence. We revere the one who is teaching us, who taught us. We value what has been taught. Not just when we're being watched, not just when we think it matters, but continually. We have a reverence for the one who speaks to us. We have a reverence for God himself. Trembling. That word there is a word that means to be anxious to the point where you distrust yourself but revere the one who directs. It's not a slavish terror. It's not a fear that has torment. It's a wholesome, serious caution. Vincent's Word Studies puts it this way. This is a fear which is a self-distrust, a tenderness of conscience, a vigilance against temptation, a constant appreciation of the deceitfulness of our own hearts and the insidiousness of power and inward corruption. It's being cautious, avoiding what would offend and dishonour God, a sensitivity towards the way of God. Because God doesn't give us the ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, this is how you do it. He doesn't tell you to wear red socks in the morning. He doesn't direct you to make 3 steps towards the stairs. He leaves that to us. Because God is wanting us to grow. It's wonderful to have Naomi with us this morning. She has learned to walk just like us. But there has to be a time when the person who's teaching you how to walk has to step back and let you fall. You have to be able to do it yourself, otherwise you never progress. And God at times will set us going and then step back a little way to allow us, give us the freedom to fall. Get up and do it again. And that's the way we learn and develop and grow. Through our personal time with God, through our corporate time with God, with our learning together, learning what works, what doesn't work, learning from others and our own mistakes and successes, we work out our salvation. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And we should each be able to say, things that I'm doing, if they match up to what Christ does, watch me. You do it because it works. We need to provide an example for each other. Examples in diligence. As Paul puts it in 2 Thessalonians 3:9 in the Message version, we simply want to provide an example of diligence, hoping it will prove contagious. Philippians 2, 12 to 13 in the Message puts it this way. What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've been doing from the beginning. When I lived among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. We need to work out our salvation with a sensitivity as to how God would have us do it. You know, the old sort of idea of the band, you know, what would Jesus do? It went in different ways, but that's the basic idea. What would Jesus do? Do it that way. Follow his rules, and our salvation will be worked out to the glory of God. We learn from the Master. We learn from each other. We fashion, shape, and work out the salvation that he has given us to the glory of God. Amen.